of Israel. For your sake, I will send to Babylon and bring down as fugitives all the Babylonians in the ships in which they took pride. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland.
Luke 11, 11 to 13. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
And the third reading is from Romans chapter 8, verses 6 to 11. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. This is the word of the Lord.
In his book, We Make the Road by Walking, Brian McLaren makes the following statement. He says, what we all want is pretty simple, really. We want to be alive. To feel alive, not just to exist, but to thrive, to live out loud, walk tall, breathe free. We want to be less lonely, less exhausted, less conflicted or afraid, more awake, more grateful, more energized, more purposeful. We capture this kind of mindful, brimming life in terms like well-being, shalom, blessedness, wholeness, harmony, life to the full, and aliveness. And he then goes on to say, I believe that the Spirit of God works everywhere to bring and restore aliveness through individuals, communities, institutions, and movements. And that's what we're going to think a little bit about this morning. In our last reading, Paul says in Romans 8, 10 to 11, but if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will always give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. This struck me. The Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in us. You just think about it. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is living in us. The Spirit that gives us life because of his righteousness. The Spirit that gives his life to our mortal bodies. His life. And I thought, his life, his shalom peace, which he promised to his disciples and therefore to us. And shalom means much more than our idea of peace. It encompasses safety, rest, prosperity, wholeness, welfare, completion, fullness, soundness, and even well-being, all the things that Brian McLaren in my opening quote says that we want. So why do we find receiving this real life that Jesus promises so difficult? I was struck by Wendy's sermon last week. She spoke of God's plans for us and quoted from Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." But then it continues in verse 12. "You will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." They had been in exile in Babylon. That's where they were, but they couldn't accept that that was the Lord's will for them at that moment in time to be there. They looked at all their circumstances and they couldn't, so they were listening to all sorts of people who were telling them that they shouldn't be there. And God was saying, well, you should be here. And after 70 years, that's how long they were having to be in those circumstances. And he said, you will pray to me and I will listen to you. But at that moment in time, they couldn't. I was also struck by what we said in the confession time last week. We said, your love gives us life from the moment of conception, but we fail to live as your children. So we do exactly the same thing. You call us to do good, but we seek our own good. We take matters into our own hands. We see the best outcome for ourselves, even sometimes at the expense of others. We make excuses to justify ourselves. We keep our eyes on our circumstances. We fail to see or wait for the good way God is wanting for us. The way of new life in the power of the Holy Spirit, the way of peace. Our first passage brings us back to our theme for the 24-hour day of prayer on Ash Wednesday, and we've still got it up on the wall over there, from Isaiah 43:19. "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." God is asking us to see and perceive the new thing he is doing, to be expectant. And then our passage from Luke. I actually meant to include the two previous verses, 9 and 10, where he says, "So I say to you," this is Jesus, "ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened." To ask, to seek, to knock. It's persistence. And we will receive, we will find, the door will be opened. How much more our Father in heaven will give us the way of life in the power of the Holy Spirit, the way of peace. Our Heavenly Father, out of his great love for us, is always for us, isn't he? Always for us. He longs for us to love him in return, to acknowledge his name and to call upon him. And he promises he will listen to us. And we've had testimony to that this morning from Eileen, from Tim, from Ali. We had people testifying on Thursday night in our prayer ministry group to things that had happened as answers to prayer in their lives, which were short of miracles. So this morning, we're going to allow a time of encounter prayer to meet with Jesus, followed by our time of ministry with the gentle touch and anointing oil. And we're reminded again in our passage from Romans 8 that if Christ is in us, then the power of him who's raised Jesus from the dead is living in us. And the action of laying on of hands on people means that we're imparting this power of life. Not because of we are anything of ourselves, and the prayer ministry ministers, not anything of ourselves, but because Jesus has promised this power of his life will flow through us to others. It's a promise, and it happens because of his righteousness, because of his resurrection, because of his resurrected life, and because of what he's given us. So I'll just explain how this is going to work for people who haven't been here and experienced this before. I will lead in a time of encounter prayer where we focus on the love of God and then place ourselves to encounter Jesus and ask him what it is that he wants, we would like him to do for us today, effectively. And then in the power of the Holy Spirit, we will wait and encounter him. And it's totally private. There's no intrusion here from anybody. But what will happen during the time of the encounter, when I stop talking, the prayer ministers will move around and touch your shoulder lightly for about a sort of certain amount of time. And if you would want to, we'll anoint you with oil. Now, they will ask you about the oil. But if you want the touch, so people aren't sort of bothered by all of this, if you would like to receive the gentle touch, then sit with your hands open. If you don't want to, then sit with your hands closed. And also, when you've received the ministry, sit with your hands closed, and then we know that it's all finished. And during that time, Mark, during the ministry time, Mark will play some music, if that's all right, Mark, on the guitar. Thank you very much. So I'm going to start the Jesus encounter now. So it's usually a good time to sit with our hands open to receive now, even if when I stop talking, you don't want to receive the touch from the prayer ministers. So I'll just start the encounter now, and we'll spend a little time focusing on the love of God our Father.